وجاء إخوة يوسف فدخلوا عليه فعرفهم وهم له منكرون.
And Joseph's brothers came to Egypt, peace be upon him, and presented themselves before him. He recognized them, but they did not know him. And Joseph's brothers came to Egypt, peace be upon him, and presented themselves before him.
Once again, the events of some 7 or 8 years have been skipped over, and the narration has been resumed at the point which describes the migration of the Israelites to Egypt, and the first clues that Jacob, peace be upon him, received concerning his missing son. The events of the intervening period which have been omitted refer to the period in which, according to Joseph's interpretation of the dream, there would first be 7 years of prosperity in Egypt. During this period, Joseph took all the precautionary measures which he had suggested to the king at that time he interpreted the dream. This was followed by a famine, and the famine was not confined to Egypt. It also spread to neighboring countries, namely Syria, Palestine, Transjordan, and northern Arabia. Thanks to the wise measures adopted by Joseph, peace be upon him, only one country, Egypt, had plenty of grain despite the severe famine conditions which prevailed in the region. This compelled people in the neighboring countries to turn to Egypt, soliciting it to provide them with grain. It was this need to purchase grain which occasioned Joseph's brothers to travel from Palestine to Egypt. Presumably, Joseph, peace be upon him, had banned foreigners from carrying grain without special permission from the government and beyond a certain measure. Hence, when Joseph's brothers tried to purchase grain, they would have been faced with the need to obtain permission from the government. It is for this reason that they had to appear before Joseph, peace be upon him.
He recognized them, but they did not know him.
That Joseph's brothers did not recognize him came as no surprise to him, for at the time they had cast him into the pit, Joseph, peace be upon him, was only 17 years old. Now he was around 38. During such a long period, everyone changes a great deal. Moreover, it could never have occurred to Joseph's brothers that their brother, whom they had thrown into a pit, would have become the all-powerful ruler of such a great country as Egypt.
وَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخٍ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِي الْكَيْلَ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ.
And when he had prepared for them their provisions, Joseph, peace be upon him, said, "Bring to me your other brother from your father. Do you not see that I give full measure and am most hospitable?"
فَإِن لَّمْ تَأْتُونِي بِهِ فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ عِندِي وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ.
And if you do not bring him to me, you shall have no corn from me, and do not even attempt to come close to me. And do not even attempt to come close to me.
In view of the brevity of the narration, one may find it difficult to grasp why, despite Joseph's desire not to reveal his identity to his brothers, he insisted his stepbrothers bring Benjamin along on their next visit. A little reflection, however, should clarify the point. It will be recalled that food rationing was in force in Egypt at that time, and each individual was entitled to a specified quantity of grain and no more. As we know, the 10 brothers had come with the purpose of obtaining grain and would naturally have asked for a share on behalf of their father and their 11th brother. This presumably provided Joseph with reasonable enough grounds to make his point. He could possibly have accepted there was a valid reason for their father not to come to Egypt, for he was old and blind, but there was no such reason in respect of their brother. Joseph, peace be upon him, might even have expressed the suspicion that they were perhaps trying to obtain additional supplies of grain under fictitious names, and that they may illegally try to sell the grain they had obtained for their family at some extortionate price. In response, Joseph's brothers might have explained their family circumstances. They might even have said that their brother was a stepbrother, and that for certain reasons their father was unwilling to send him along with them. In reply, Joseph, peace be upon him, might have said that trusting their word, he would permit them to receive the full supply of grain on this occasion, but if they failed to bring their stepbrother the next time, they would receive no grain at all. On the one hand, Joseph, peace be upon him, warned them. On the other hand, he tried to win over their hearts by doing them a favor and entertaining them. All this is understandable since Joseph, peace be upon him, would have been very keen to meet his brother Benjamin again and to become acquainted with the welfare of his family. All this is simple enough, a matter easily understood. On reflection, the whole affair is so plain and natural that one need give no credence whatsoever to the exaggerated version of the story we find in the Bible. See Genesis 42-3.
قالوا سنراود عنه أباه وإنا لفاعلون.
They said, "We will surely try to prevail over our father to send him. Be sure we shall do so."
وقال لفتيانه جعلوا بضاعتهم في رحالهم لعلهم يعرفونها إذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم لعلهم يرجعون.
And Joseph, peace be upon him, said to his servants, "Put surreptitiously in their packs the goods they had given in exchange for corn." Joseph, peace be upon him, did so, expecting that they would find it when they returned home. Feeling grateful for this generosity, they might be inclined to return to him.
فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مُنِعَ مِنَّا الْكَيْلُ فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا نَكْتَلْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ.
When they returned to their father, they said, "Father, we have been denied further supply of corn. So send us with our brother, that we may bring the supplies. We shall be responsible for his protection."
قال هل آمنكم عليه إلا كما أمنتكم على أخيه من قبل فالله خير حافظا وهو أرحم الراحمين.
The father said, "Shall I trust you with regard to him as I trusted you earlier with regard to his brother? Allah is the best one for protection and is the most merciful."
ولما فتحوا متاعهم وجدوا بضاعتهم ردت إليهم قالوا يا أبانا ما نبغي هذه بضاعتنا ردت إلينا ونمير أهلنا ونحفظ أخانا ونزداد كيل بعير ذلك كيل يسير.
And when they opened their things, they found that their goods had been given back to them. Thereupon they cried, "Father, what else would we desire? Look, even our goods have been given back to us. So we shall go now and bring supplies for our family, protect our brother, and bring another camel load of corn. That additional supply will be easily secured."
قال لن أرسله معكم حتى تؤتون موثقا من الله لتأتنني به إلا أن يحاط بكم فلما آتوه موثقهم قال الله على ما نقول وكيل.
Their father said, "I shall never send him with you until you give me a solemn promise in the name of Allah that you will bring him back to me, unless you yourselves are surrounded." Then, after they had given him their solemn promise, he said, "Allah watches over what we have said."
وقال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إن الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون.
And he enjoined them, My sons, do not enter the city by one gate. Rather, enter it by different gates. I can be of no help to you against Allah. Allah's command alone prevails. In Him have I put my trust, and in Him should all those who have faith put their trust. And He enjoined them, My sons, do not enter the city by one gate. Rather, enter it by different gates. This shows how Jacob, peace be upon him, who had already gone through the bitter experience of sending Joseph, peace be upon him, with his stepbrothers, might have felt about sending Benjamin with them. Although Jacob, peace be upon him, had full trust in God and also displayed the utmost patience, he was, after all, a human being. It is natural that a host of suspicions would have crossed his mind. It is also natural that occasionally he would have shivered at the possibility that he might never see Benjamin again. He therefore spared no effort in taking precautionary measures. The precautionary measure suggested by Jacob, peace be upon him, that the 11 brothers should not enter the Egyptian capital by the same gate can be appreciated when one considers the political conditions of the day. For Joseph's brothers hailed from the independent tribal areas adjacent to Egypt. It is likely, therefore, that the Egyptians might have looked upon them suspiciously. Witness the suspicions entertained by the British about the residents of the free tribal areas neighboring the northwestern frontier province during the Raj. Jacob might have feared that if his sons entered in a group during a period of famine, they would have been mistaken for wild tribesmen looking for loot and plunder. In the previous verse too, Jacob's remark that unless you yourselves are surrounded seems to indicate his apprehension was of a political nature.
ولما دخلوا من حيث أمرهم أبوهم ما كان يغني عنهم من الله من شيء إلا حاجة في نفس يعقوب قضاها وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
And it so happened that when they entered the city by many gates, as their father had directed them, this precautionary measure proved ineffective against Allah's will. There was an uneasiness in Jacob's soul, peace be upon him, which he so tried to remove. Surely, he was possessed of knowledge owing to the knowledge that we bestowed upon him. But most people do not know the truth of the matter. Surely, he was possessed of knowledge owing to the knowledge that we bestowed upon him. But most people do not know the truth of the matter.
Jacob's statements, peace be upon him, show how one should combine and maintain an even balance between one's worldly means and the full trust that one ought to have in God. Such a perfect balance was possible only because of the knowledge which God had bestowed on Jacob, peace be upon him, out of His grace and mercy. Jacob, peace be upon him, took all possible measures required by common sense and dictated by experience. It is also for this reason that he reminded his sons of their unbecoming behavior towards Joseph, peace be upon him, and warned them not to repeat it. He made them solemnly swear in the name of God that they would protect their stepbrother Benjamin. Moreover, in view of the political conditions then prevailing, he ordered them to adopt all measures that would prevent them from being surrounded by others. On the other hand, Joseph, peace be upon him, was fully conscious of the fact, as suggested by his remark, that no matter what precautionary measures human beings might take, nothing prevails against God's will. Hence, man should be clear in his mind that there is no security except God's. Man should therefore place his true reliance on Him rather than on worldly measures. Such a balance in thought and deed can be maintained only by a person who has full knowledge of the truth. Such a person knows the requirement of God's laws, that man should work and strive for something for which he has a natural predisposition. At the same time, he is quite aware that the power that really counts is God's. While a believer strives as others do, he nevertheless knows that without the support of God, man's effort is absolutely useless.
Sadly, this fact is known only to a very few. For most people are totally dependent on their own efforts and become oblivious to the fact that man must have trust in God and remember that God's will alone prevails. On the other hand, there are those who indolently leave things to God. They disregard the fact that alongside their trust in God, they are also required to work.